Well, good morning. I want to thank everyone for being here, especially the visitors. Very glad that you come to be here with us. As Jason said, Brother Heath is away, and I'll be filling in for him, and I'll try to do the very best that I can. I hope that you will follow along in your Bibles, because I want you to see that the things that I'll be talking about come from the Word of God. When I'm doing a home Bible study, I often refer to the Bible as God's rule book. The Bible contains rules for the way that we are to live our lives. Then along with the rules, it contains many examples of people who followed those rules and some who did not. This morning, I'd like to look at some of these examples, and especially, I want to look at some people who found a better way. These were people who decided not to follow God's pattern. They found some new way, some better way, or so they thought. But before we get to the examples, I want to start by looking at a warning that the Bible gives us about these better ways. In Proverbs 14 and verse 12, it says, "There is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death." I want everyone to keep this proverb in mind as we go through this lesson today. And I've been told that if you have a really important point, you should go ahead and repeat it. So I'd like to look at Proverbs 16:25. That says, "There is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death." Do you see that that is exactly the same warning? God repeated that warning, so we should understand that these better ways can be very dangerous. There are many ways that seem to be right, but the only way that we can know that we are right is to follow the pattern that we find in God's Word. For our first example, let's start right at the very beginning. It all started with Adam and Eve. In Genesis chapter 2, we're told that God placed Adam in the Garden of Eden. It was a beautiful garden with all kinds of fruit to eat, and Adam could speak directly with God. And with all of these blessings that Adam had, God gave Adam just one simple command. Let's look at Genesis chapter 2, verses 16 through 17. Genesis 2 at verse 16. "And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, 'Of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it you shall surely die.'" Later, God created Eve to be a helper for Adam, and Eve was fully aware of this one simple commandment. In Genesis chapter 3, when the serpent came to tempt Eve, she quoted this commandment for him. Eve knew God's way. It was simple. Just don't eat of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. But the serpent lied to her. He told her that she would not die. He told her that she would become like God, knowing good and evil. In essence, the serpent told Eve that he had a better way. If she would just listen to his way, she would be like God. And Eve believed him. She ate the forbidden fruit, and she gave some to Adam, and he ate also. Adam and Eve found out that the serpent's way was not the better way. God drove them out of the Garden of Eden, and God gave individual punishments to Adam and to Eve and to the serpent. Adam and Eve knew God's way, but they believed the serpent's lie of a better way, and thus sin came into the world. The serpent's better way did not work. Today there are many people that offer us a better way, but their way is a lie. And just like Adam and Eve, we will be punished if we follow the lie. Adam and Eve weren't allowed to use the serpent's lie as an excuse for their behavior, and neither will we. So how can we know if someone is telling us a lie? By knowing the truth. If we study God's Word and learn the right way, we won't be deceived when someone comes along and offers us a better way. When Paul preached to the Jews in Berea, Luke tells us that they searched the Scriptures daily to find out whether these things were so. That's Acts 17:11. They listened to Paul's preaching, and then they looked in God's Word to see if it matched the pattern that was found there. And I hope that you are going to do that right now as we go through this lesson. If you know God's way, you won't be fooled when someone offers you a better way. It didn't take long before we had the next departure from God's pattern. Cain and Abel were the first children of Adam and Eve. Genesis chapter 4 tells us that Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. Then it tells us that Cain and Abel offered sacrifices to God. In Genesis chapter 4, verses 3 through 5, we can read, "And in the process of time it came to pass that Cain brought an offering of the fruit of the ground to the Lord. Abel also brought of the firstborn of his flock and of their fat. And the Lord respected Abel in his offering, but he did not respect Cain in his offering. And Cain was very angry, and his countenance fell." We are not told exactly what God told them to offer, but we can see from the Bible record that God did give them some instruction. Hebrews 11:4 tells us that by faith, Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. And since Romans 10:17 tells us that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, we can conclude that God told Cain and Abel how to offer their sacrifices. Abel presented his offering by faith. That is, Abel did it God's way. And the result? God was pleased with his offering. We're told that God did not respect Cain and his offering. We can know that Cain did something wrong with his offering, because in verse 7, God told Cain, "If you do well, will you not be accepted?" Cain was not accepted because he did not do well. That is, he did not follow God's pattern. Cain thought that he had a better way, but God was not pleased with his better way. The first result that we can see is that Cain's offering was rejected by God. But that's not the end. Cain got angry when God didn't accept his offering. This anger and probably jealousy caused Cain to kill his brother Abel, and that brought punishment. God cursed Cain and drove him away from his parents, and things just went from bad to worse. Cain's better way did not work. We can learn a lot from Cain and Abel. God will be pleased with us when we walk by faith. But God will not be pleased if we ignore his pattern and try to find a better way. There are some people who, like Cain, get mad at God when things don't go the way they want. They expect God to give them everything that they want, and then they blame God when things go wrong. We need to remember Job and how he reacted with all of the terrible things that happened to him. After Satan took away all his children and all his possessions, we can read in Job 1:22 that in all this, Job did not sin nor charge God with wrong. And in Job 2:10, Job said, "Shall we indeed accept good from God and not accept adversity?" There will be bad times in this life, but this life is short when compared to eternity, and heaven will be worth it all. And we'll get there if we follow God's pattern. Not all of the examples are bad. There were some men in the Bible who listened to God's instructions, and one of them was Noah. Noah did it God's way. Genesis chapter 6 tells us the account of the flood. God was angry because of all the wickedness in the world. Genesis 6:6 tells us that he was grieved in his heart. So God decided to destroy mankind and all of the living things on the earth. But then in verse 8, it tells us that Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. So God decided to spare Noah, and God instructed Noah to build an ark. Noah was given very detailed instructions on how to build this ark. God told him what materials to use and the exact dimensions of the ark. People don't seem to think very highly of God's design. If we look at the drawings of the ark that people make today, we can see that people think Noah needed more than one window. But God only told Noah to put in one window. So Noah had to decide, was he going to follow God's design? Or was he going to add more windows? Or maybe use a different kind of wood? Or maybe make it smaller so he didn't have to work as hard? In Genesis 6:22, we see what Noah did. It says, "Thus Noah did according to all that God commanded him, so he did." Noah understood that God's way is the best way. So Noah did it God's way. And as a result, Noah and his family were saved from the flood. God's way works. Many people don't want to follow God's pattern today. They say that it's outdated, it doesn't fit the times. They want to find a better way. They don't see the danger of refusing to do things God's way. Later, we see that Abraham was another man who did what God commanded him to do. And knowing that Abraham was a faithful man, God gave Abraham three promises, which are found in Genesis chapter 12. God promised Abraham that he would have many descendants, that his descendants would have their own land, and that through one of his descendants, all of the earth would be blessed. Abraham was 75 years old when God gave him these promises, and his wife, Sarah, was 65 years old. And Genesis 11:30 tells us that she was barren. She had never been able to have children. So how would they have many descendants? 10 years went by. Abraham and Sarah traveled through the land of Canaan. They lived in Egypt. They returned to the land of Canaan, and still no children. So Sarah thought that God needed some help with his plan. She came up with a better way. Since she was unable to have children, she thought that Abraham could have a child with her servant, Hagar. And Hagar bore him a son, who they named Ishmael. So Abraham got a son, but they hadn't done it God's way. When Abraham was 99 years old, God appeared to Abraham to repeat these promises. In Genesis 17 and verse 19, God told Abraham that Sarah would bear him a son, and they would call him Isaac. God told Abraham that the descendants of Ishmael would become a great nation, but the fulfillment of the promises would come through Isaac. In Genesis 17:21, God said, "My covenant I will establish with Isaac." And what was the result of Sarah's better way? In Genesis 16 and verse 12, the angel of the Lord said about Ishmael, "He shall be a wild man, his hand shall be against every man, and every man's hand against him." The descendants of Ishmael fought against God's people all throughout their history, and they're still fighting with them today. Sarah's better way didn't work. This lesson shows us that God has his own timetable. It was 25 years from the time that the promises were given until the time when Isaac was born. We tend to be impatient. We want things to happen right away. But God does things in his own time. And we need to learn to wait on God and to do things God's way. When Abraham's descendants had grown into a great multitude, God chose Moses to lead them. And he gave them a law, the law of Moses. As part of that law, God instructed Moses to build a portable tent where God would come down and dwell with them and where they would offer up their worship to him. This was called the tabernacle. God gave very specific instructions on how they should build the tabernacle and how they should build everything that would go in it. In Exodus 25 and verse 9, God told Moses to follow his pattern. Exodus 25:9. According to all that I show you, that is the pattern of the tabernacle and the pattern of all its furnishings, just so you shall make it. And this instruction is repeated in verse 40, Exodus 25:40. And see to it that you make them according to the pattern which was shown you on the mountain. Exodus chapters 25 through 31 give all the specifications for building the tabernacle and all of the furnishings that were in it. Then Exodus chapters 36 through 39 show that they built it exactly as they had been told. And their work is summed up in Exodus 39 and verses 42 to 43. Exodus 39, verses 42 and 43. According to all that the Lord had commanded Moses, so the children of Israel did all the work. Then Moses looked over all the work, and indeed, they had done it as the Lord had commanded, just so they had done it. And Moses blessed them. The tabernacle was built according to God's pattern, and God was pleased with their work. And this is what God wants from us today. He wants us to follow His pattern. Another part of the law was the priesthood. God selected the sons of Aaron to be the priests, and God gave very specific instructions on how they were to carry out their duties. One of their duties was to offer incense to the Lord. In Leviticus chapter 10, we are told about Nadab and Abihu as they went to offer incense. And at this point in the book, we haven't been told what their instructions were, but we can see that they didn't follow God's instructions. They found a better way. Leviticus 10, verses 1 and 2. Then Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, each took his censer and put fire in it, put incense on it, and offered profane fire before the Lord, which he had not commanded them. So fire went out from the Lord and devoured them, and they died before the Lord. We're told later in Leviticus 16 and verse 12 that the fire for the censer should have come from the coals of fire that are kept burning on the altar of burnt offerings. Nadab and Abihu found some other way to get their fire. They didn't do it God's way, and they died because of it. Nadab and Abihu's better way did not work. This may seem like a small error, but it shows us that God expects us to follow His pattern exactly as it has been given. We saw that Moses followed God's pattern when it came to building the tabernacle. And in nearly every other situation, Moses did it God's way. But there was one time that he did not. In Numbers chapter 20, the Israelites were wandering in the desert, and they had come to Kadesh. The people didn't have any water, so they complained to Moses. And Moses and Aaron went to speak with God. They went to the door of the tabernacle and fell on their faces, and God spoke with them. In Numbers chapter 20, verses 7 and 8, it says, Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, Take the rod, you and your brother Aaron, gather the congregation together, speak to the rock before their eyes, and it will yield its water. Thus you shall bring water for them out of the rock, and give drink to the congregation and their animals. Now this was the second time that God told Moses to get water out of a rock. In Exodus chapter 17, when the Israelites had come to Rephidim, they had complained when they ran out of water. On that occasion, God commanded Moses to strike the rock, and water came out of the rock. But this time, God told Moses to speak to the rock. And let's see what Moses did, continuing in verse 9. So Moses took the rod from before the Lord as he commanded him. And Moses and Aaron gathered the assembly together before the rock. And he said to them, Hear now, you rebels, must we bring water for you out of this rock? Then Moses lifted his hand and struck the rock twice with his rod, and water came out abundantly, and the congregation and their animals drank. Then the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, Because you did not believe me, to hallow me in the eyes of the children of Israel, Therefore you shall not bring this assembly into the land which I have given them. Moses did two things wrong. First, he didn't give God the credit because he said, "Must we bring water for you out of this rock?" And second, he didn't follow the right pattern. Striking the rock had worked for him before, but this time he was told to speak to the rock. Because he didn't do it God's way, Moses was not allowed to lead the Israelites into the promised land. If we were to look at all of the things that Moses did in his life, the good far outweighed the bad. So you might think God would just overlook this one little incident, but God did not. So don't think that God's going to overlook some small thing in your life. God expects us to follow His pattern all the time, even in the simplest things. Moses' better way did not work. And there are people today that want to go back to some of the old patterns, to go back to the way that it used to be. They don't like the new pattern, so they want to go back to the old pattern, and that would be the law of Moses. And one example is that some people want to use the law of Moses to justify mechanical instruments in our worship. They think that the old way is the better way. In the New Testament, we are commanded to sing. Ephesians 5:19 and Colossians 3:16. Mechanical instruments are never mentioned in this new pattern, but people appeal to the old pattern because they like that way better. But that's the wrong pattern. Joshua was another man who did it God's way. When the Israelites entered the promised land, the first city they had to conquer was Jericho. And it was a great, well-fortified city with great walls. And in Joshua chapter 6, God told Joshua how to take the city. Joshua 6, we'll read verses 3 through 5. "You shall march around the city, all you men of war. You shall go all around the city once. This you shall do 6 days, and 7 priests shall bear 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the ark. But the 7th day you shall march around the city 7 times, and the priests shall blow the trumpets. It shall come to pass when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when you hear the sound of the trumpet, that all the people shall shout with a great shout. Then the wall of the city will fall down flat, and the people shall go up, every man, straight before him." Now, if there was ever a guy who could say, "I need a better way," it was Joshua. Using man's reasoning, this plan was not going to work. There has never been a military commander before that or since then who has ever taken a city in this way. But Joshua did exactly what God commanded him to do. And verse 20 tells us the wall fell down flat. It seems today that people only want to obey those commands that they understand. They want to do those things that make sense to them. If they can't understand why God commanded it, they think that they should go out and find a better way. One such example is baptism. People don't understand why God chose baptism as that last step in His plan of salvation. But we don't need to understand it. We just need to do what we're told to do. We need to be like Joshua and do what God has commanded us, even if we don't understand why we're told to do it. Just follow God's pattern, because God's ways work. David was another man who nearly always did what God told him to do. In 1 Samuel 13:14, God called David a man after His own heart. But there were a few times when David didn't follow God's pattern. Today I'd like to look at how David moved the Ark of the Covenant. The Ark of God had been captured by the Philistines, but God struck the Philistines with tumors wherever the Ark was taken. So they sent it back to Israel, and it eventually ended up at Kirjath-Jearim, where it stayed for a long, long time. Soon after King David conquered Jerusalem, he decided that the Ark of God should be brought to Jerusalem. Now God had specified how the ark was to be moved. As part of the pattern for the tabernacle, God commanded that the ark of the covenant should be carried on poles. Exodus 25:14 says, "You shall put poles into the rings on the sides of the ark, that the ark may be carried by them." Then in Numbers chapter 4, it tells how the priests were to pack up everything in the tabernacle when it was time to move, and the sons of Kohath, who were Levites, were to carry them. Numbers 4:15 says, "And when Aaron and his sons have finished covering the sanctuary and all the furnishings of the sanctuary, when the camp is set to go, then the sons of Kohath shall come to carry them, but they shall not touch any holy thing, lest they die." That was God's pattern. The Levites were to carry the Ark of the Covenant on poles, and anyone who touched any holy thing would die. But David had a better way. He put the Ark of God on a new cart. He was going to let the oxen do all of the hard work. Uzzah and his brother drove the cart. And when they came to Nacon's threshing floor, the oxen stumbled. And Uzzah did what anyone would do. He reached out and grabbed the ark to keep it from falling off the cart. But in 2 Samuel 6 and verse 7, it tells us, "Then the anger of the Lord was aroused against Uzzah, and God struck him there for his error, and he died there by the ark of God." Even though Uzzah was trying to do a good thing, he broke God's law by touching the ark, and the law said that he would die. Now Uzzah was a victim of circumstances. It was King David's error that put him in that situation. It was King David's fault that the ark might fall off the cart and fall to the ground, because David didn't follow God's pattern to carry it on poles. But Uzzah still gets part of the blame. He broke the law when he touched the ark. King David's better way did not work. Sometimes the sins of others can have serious consequences for us. But even when we find ourselves in the worst of circumstances, we need to follow God's pattern. We could easily get caught up in situation ethics. Uzzah could say, "It's okay this one time for me to touch the ark," but wrong is always wrong, regardless of the circumstances. Our last example will be King Solomon. In 1 Kings chapter 3, we can read how God told Solomon that he could have anything that he wanted. And in 1 Kings 3 and verse 9, Solomon made his request. He said, "Therefore give to your servant an understanding heart to judge your people, that I may discern between good and evil." So God gave him wisdom. Later in 2 Chronicles 9:23, it says that Solomon surpassed all the kings of the earth in riches and wisdom. Solomon was the wisest man on earth, but in some areas of his own life, he didn't use that wisdom. God had given a command to all the people not to marry the women of the land where they were going. In Deuteronomy 7:3 it says, "Nor shall you make marriages with them. You shall not give your daughter to their son, nor take their daughter for your son." These foreign women would want to worship their own gods. So the husband might allow his wife to worship her gods alone. But a wife has a very strong influence on her husband. She might convince her husband to join her so that they could worship her gods together. God told the people that the best way to prevent this problem was to not get in the situation in the first place. Also in Deuteronomy chapter 17, God told the Israelites that they would eventually ask for a king. So God gave some instructions for that king. One instruction is found in Deuteronomy 17 and verse 17. It says, "Neither shall he multiply wives for himself, lest his heart turn away." God saw that there was a problem coming. Too many wives would turn the king's heart away from God. But God also provided a way to prevent the problem. He commanded the king to limit the number of wives that he would take. Sadly, with all his wisdom, King Solomon didn't follow God's pattern. Turn with me to 1 Kings 11, verses 1 to 4. 1 Kings 11. But King Solomon loved many foreign women, as well as the daughter of Pharaoh, women of the Moabites, Ammonites, Edomites, Sidonians, and Hittites, from the nations of whom the Lord had said to the children of Israel, "You shall not intermarry with them, nor they with you. Surely they will turn away your hearts after their gods." Solomon clung to these in love. And he had 700 wives, princesses, and 300 concubines. And his wives turned away his heart. For it was so, when Solomon was old, that his wives turned his heart after other gods. And his heart was not loyal to the Lord his God, as was the heart of his father David. Solomon did it his own way. And if the wisest man on earth could make this mistake, we need to be careful that we don't make similar mistakes. Later, we can read that God told Solomon his punishment. God was going to split the kingdom into two parts and take 10 of the tribes away from Solomon's son and give them to someone else. God's people were split into two nations because Solomon didn't follow God's pattern. Solomon's better way did not work. And this is another good lesson for us. If there is a problem for us, we need to stay as far away from that problem as we can. Some people want to try to get just as close to sin as they can get without committing it, but they usually eventually end up succumbing to that sin. They get overcome because they get too close. We've looked at a number of examples of men who either did it God's way or tried to do it their own way. We've seen that the results were always bad when they tried to come up with a better way. So remember that the Bible is God's rule book. It contains many patterns for how we are to live our lives. And God has told us to follow those patterns. In 2 Timothy 1:13 it says, "Hold fast the pattern of sound words which you have heard from me in faith and love which are in Christ Jesus." Titus 2, verses 6 through 8 says, "Likewise exhort the young men to be sober-minded, in all things showing yourself to be a pattern of good works, in doctrine showing integrity, reverence, incorruptibility, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that one who is an opponent may be ashamed, having nothing evil to say of you." We can find many good examples in the Bible of people who followed God's pattern. We need to follow those good examples. Philippians 3:17 says, "Brethren, join in following my example, and those who so walk, as you have us for a pattern." Paul told Timothy to be a good example. In 1 Timothy 4 and verse 12 says, "Let no one despise your youth, but be an example to the believers in word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, in purity." We have seen many of the mistakes that others have made. We need to learn from their mistakes. Romans 15:4 says, "For whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we, through the patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope." We need to avoid those better ways that men come up with. I'd like to remind you of the verse that we started with, Proverbs 14:12. "There is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death." We've seen that as we've looked at these examples in the Bible. Another good verse that makes the same point is Jeremiah 10 and verse 23. "O Lord, I know the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man who walks to direct his own steps." These lessons in the Old Testament were put there to teach us a lesson. We can see the mistakes that these people made, and we need to learn so that we don't make similar mistakes. We're about to sing the song of invitation. I want to close by showing you God's pattern for the way that we are to be saved. There are five steps steps in God's plan of salvation. There is no other way that we can be saved, not by the sinner's prayer, not by faith only. We can only be saved by doing it God's way. Step one, you must hear the Word of God, Romans 10:17. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Number two, you must believe God's Word, Hebrews 11:6. But without faith it is impossible to please Him. Number three, you must repent of your sins, Luke 13:3. Unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. Number four, you must confess Jesus as your Lord. Romans 10:10, for with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And number five, you must be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins. Mark 16:16, he who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. Then, once you've completed these steps, you need to remain faithful. It is possible to fall back into sin. We see this in the example of Simon the sorcerer in Acts chapter 8. And after he sinned, he was told to repent and pray for forgiveness. We can pray with you and for you today. If you have any need, please come forward, meet me up front, let us know how we can help you. Please come forward as we stand and sing.